Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kesubos Daf Nun Gimel. We're already pretty far down, Amud Aleph Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, around 17 lines down from the top. And we begin with the words, Boi Mine Rav Yemar Saba Ne Rav Nachman. Rav Yemar Saba, the older Rav Yemar, asked the following Shaila from Rav Nachman. And he said, Mochra Ksubosa Levala. If a woman were to sell a Ksuba to a Bala, we know, of course, that the woman, when she gets married, she has her Ksuba. There's the base kasuba, the mono or masayim, depending whether she's a ba'ula or a basula, and then there's the tosefis kasuba. The question is, this woman sells her kasuba to her husband. As we'll see, she's destitute. Her husband's not supporting her to the status that she would like, and she's selling her kasuba to her husband. And therefore, he's not going to pay full price for it, but he'll pay it at a discount, so she'll get it at 25% on the dollar. So the woman is selling her ksuba to her husband. So in that situation, she obviously, when her husband dies, won't get a ksuba. But does that mean that all the other tanoim of the ksuba no longer apply? So the question would be, yesh lo ksubas b'din dichrin, o ain lo ksubas b'din dichrin. The rights that her children would have to preferentially inherit any of the nedunya that her father had put into the ksuba, will the nechsei malug, would they, in fact, go to her children? Or no, when she sold the ksuba to her husband, he basically usurped that right, and the nichsei malug that she brought into the marriage would now be evenly distributed, not only amongst her children solely, but also would be evenly distributed to any other children that he had from any other wives, or from a previous marriage. So that's the question that Rav Yemer asked to Rav Nachman, Rav Yemer Saba. So Amalei Rava. So Rava jumped in and said to Rav Yemer Saba, why did you ask the question in regards to her selling the ksuba? It would have been a stronger question, v'tiboy loch mocheles. You should have asked the question, which we'll explain in a moment, why Rava thinks this is a stronger question, a better question. Why didn't you ask, what happens if she says to her husband, nah, I'm meichel on my ksuba? When she says she's meichel on her ksuba, does that mean that all the tenayim of the ksuba, the ksuba's b'nin dichrin aspect as well is mochel? Or no, she's only be mochel on what she gets, but not be mochel on the ksuba's b'nin dichrin rights that her sons would have preferentially over the other children that the husband had had from other wives. So in a moment we'll explain why Rava thought his question was a better question. So first, Rav Yemer Saba explains why he asked specifically the case of mocheres and not the case of mocheles. So I'm late, so Rav Yemer Saba says back to Rava, I had no problem with the case of mocheles, as I'll explain. Hashta, mocheres komi boili, but I did have a question about mocheres. Why? Because why would a woman sell a ksuba? Because she's destitute. The afal gav the ikol lemeimar zuze ansuha. One could argue that this woman was desperate. She didn't get enough money to support herself from her husband, and she wasn't happy with the limited support that she had. So she said, I'm willing to, so to say, sell my future to have a better support right now and take the chance that I die before him, and therefore the ksuba is going to be worthless to me. And therefore, one could argue, Rav Yemer Saba says, Damina, it's as if she is saying, Kiman dekamohula meyo uchle beuchle, as if she got 100 lashes with a weighted type of a metal weight at the end of the lashes. In other words, she's being given zetzin over here. She's really getting hit over here from a financial point of view, and that's why she sold the ksuba. And therefore, all she's doing is selling the ksuba, Rav Yemer Saba says, but not the rights to bin dichrin, or not. And therefore, that was his question, because here one could argue that the zuze ansua, as opposed to mocheles, biboya, in a case where she's not under any financial pressures, and for whatever the reason, she's meichel the ksuba to her husband. So in that situation, where there is no financial pressures, of course, there is no ksubas b'nin dichrin. She was meichel on everything, including on her ksubas b'nin dichrin rights for her son. So that's why Rav Yemer Saba said, I only asked the question on mocheres, because if you even have a question by mocheres, maybe yes, maybe no, that there's no ksubas b'nin dichrin. So certainly in the case of mocheles, there would be no ksubas b'nin dichrin. Why didn't Rava agree with that? Rava says, no, pshituli, it's absolutely clear to me that mocheres ksubas oliacherim, if a woman were to sell a ksuba to somebody else because she's destitute, so yesh lo ksubas b'nin dichrin, so then she's only selling the minimum amount that she needs to, which is to get the money for the ksuba. And therefore, yesh lo ksubas b'nin dichrin. And therefore, if she does die first, so then the husband, when he takes over all of the nedunya, so he wouldn't normally get the nichsei malug, but upon his death, the Benin Dichwin would in fact go and inherit that from the Lekuchos. They would go and take that because that right was never Macha. When she sold it, she didn't sell the aspect of Ksubas Benin Dichwin. She didn't have the right to. And therefore, she wasn't selling that. That's her children's right. So therefore, she can only sell it. Again, she's selling it on speculation. This person is assuming that the husband will die first, and therefore the wife would get the ksuba, and therefore he's buying it on speculation. So again, he's paying 25 cents on the dollar. So in this situation, where the man, in fact, inherits from his wife, so the ksuba, the benin dechrin aspect is retained. So that's clear to Rava. Why, my Tama? Because Zuzi Ansua, the only reason she sold it to this other person, because she was destitute. She wasn't happy with the support that she was getting, and she needed more support. So she had no intention of being selling the Ksubas Min Dichrin rights. However, Rava also says, Mochelek Ksuba Solabala. If she's Moichel her Ksuba to her husband, so then there was no financial pressure whatsoever. She was Moichelit. She obviously didn't hold it in high esteem. So therefore, clearly, ain't no ksubas min dichwin. In this situation, there is no ksubas min dichwin to her sons. My time of why? Because achuli achilta. She gave it away, basically. As Rashi says, in diramas achuli achilta, the nekal bienel, lahavsi bonel, miksuboso chinam. She obviously was willing to give this up because she gave it away for free. She was maichlet for free. So there was no financial pressures. So Rabbi says those two dinim are clear. If she sold it to somebody else, there is ksubas min dichwin. If she's maichlet to her husband, there is no ksubas min dichwin. So the question that Rabbi says, boy Rabbi, this is the question. Mocheres ksubas labala. If she sells the ksuba to her husband, which way do we look at it? Do we say that kimocheres lacherim dami, and it's ansua zuze, that the zuze ansua, that she had no money and she was destitute, and therefore it's no different selling it to somebody else or selling it to the husband, the children will still have the ksubas min dichrin? Or do we say, no, that's the equivalent of kimocheres labala dami. That's like that she's meichel to her husband, and then there is no ksubas min dichrin. So that was the question that Robert raised, and he answered it himself. Basu the boy, after he asked the question, he answered it. And he said, mocheres ksuba labala, kimocheres lacherim dami. It's all financial. Financial pressures, zuzi and sua, and therefore, in this situation, the children do not lose the right uksubas benin dichrin. More questions. This it says, "Maser Rav Idi bar Oven to Rava." Rav Idi bar Oven says to Rava, in the following scenario of Mesa. Now, Rashi reminds us that this is talking about a case that we had in Yavamos. If you look in Dibra Maschel, Ein Yorshim Shozeh B'chule. So Rashi tells us this Mishnah be Yavamos. This is a Mishnah you should hopefully remember from Yavamos, where we had Rechmon Litzan, Aisha, Sholach, Bala Medina, Sayam, a woman whose husband went off on a business trip, and she gets a report. One witness comes and says, Nebuch Meiz Balach, your husband died. And in this situation, because of the principle of Daika Umenzeva, that the rabbi said the woman will definitely check it out and won't get married unless she's 100% certain that her husband is dead, so they allowed her to get married based upon the Eid Echad, so she should become an Aguna. Din permitted her to go and marry based upon the Seyed Echad, and she went and did in fact get married. Venesis. And then Nebuch, V'achakach bo bala, her husband does come back, he's alive. So she's in a real pickle. Teitze mizeh umizeh. She's not allowed to live with her first husband, and certainly not allowed to live with the second husband. Second husband, she's still married to the first husband. And the first husband, because she was mizana with the second husband, she was willingly having relations with him, so therefore she can't live with either one. And furthermore, it said, "Ein lo ksuva lo mizeh, lo mizeh," and she's not entitled to ksuva from either the first or the second husband. And the emesa, if she were to die, neither the first or the second husband or their families, "Ein yarshin shozeh v'zeh, banim sheesh lo mizeh, lo mizeh, yarshin subasa." So nobody is going to go and inherit her ksuba. So now, based upon this, Masa Rav Yehuda bar Rav, now you can understand the Gemara. Rav Yehuda bar Rav answers the following question: in a situation where she dies, so then, ein yarshim shozev, ein yarshim shozev, yarshim subasa. So neither children of her first husband or the children of her second husband will go and inherit the ksuba. And Mar says, what are you talking about, ksuba? Babina, but we asked over there, ksubasa, my habitat, we just said, she doesn't have a ksuba from this one, she doesn't have a ksuba from that one. So what are you talking about that the children from either the first husband or the second husband don't inherit the ksuba? There is no ksuba. So the Omer Rapapa, so Rapapa explained, we're talking here about ksubas benin dichrin. So what it's saying is that there is no ksubas benin dichrin from either the first husband or the second husband. Now, Rav Yehuda finishes off his kasha on Rav, and he says, why not? V'amai, hochanami, lema, yetzer, anasa. Just like you're saying, zuze anasa, and there is a ksubas benin dichrin, why don't we say over here? As Rashi points out, in Dibur HaMaskel, first line in the wide lines of Rashi, namer, yetzer, Anasa Shoyso Misavil Baal. She was lonely. She wanted a husband. She had understood that her first husband died. So therefore, she went and remarried. So she didn't remarry out of immoral reasons. She was lonely. Yetzer Anasa. Her Yetzer Hara, so to say, forced her to marry. She was lonely. And therefore, why do we say in this situation that there's no Ksubas Min Dichrin? So it must be that we don't apply this rule of Zuze Adsuha. We don't apply the rule of Yetzer Anasa. And therefore, you're wrong, Rabbah. So how would Rabbah respond? Rabbah says, no, that case is different. Hasam Kinasahu, the Kansur Rabbanah. The rabbi said, Daika Umin Sava, go really check it out, and only then get married. So you obviously didn't do Daika enough, and therefore this is a Knas, that there's no Ksubas Min Dichrin for the first husband or the second husband. Any Nadunya that her father brought in, they don't have any preferential rights to inherit it. The situation, however, of Zuzi and Sua, that was something. She didn't do an Aveira. She has the right to sell a Ksuba if she wishes to on speculation. And therefore, there is a Ksuba Benin Dichrin. Okay. Gemara continues and says, Yosef Ravin Bar Chanina Kameh Rechista. Ravi Bar Chanina was a Talmud, and he was sitting in front of his Rebbe Rechista. The Yosef Karmah Mishmei Rabbi Elazar, and he said over the following part to the name of Elazar. Mentioned many times, the double lashon of Yosef. So the Talmidim would sit in front of the Rebbeim, and they wouldn't ask a question unless they stood up. So they would stand up. The Rebbe would then give them permission to ask the question, and they could sit down and ask the question. So that's the double lashon of Yosef. In any event, Ravin Bar Chanina is sitting in front of his Rebbe Rechista, and he makes the following statement. Mocheles ksubasa lebala engla mazonos. He says the name of Rabbi Elazar, that if a woman is mocheles the ksuba to her husband, so then she's not entitled to mazonos. What does this mean, she's not entitled to mazonos? Obviously, Rashi points out, it can't be that she's not entitled to mazonos during the marriage itself, because clearly, during the marriage itself, that's not a tenai of the ksuba. The husband has to go and be befriend his wife. So therefore, it's talking about if the husband dies. So normally, the ksuba says that the wife is entitled to stay in the house of her husband as long as she wants until she collects the ksuba or until she gets remarried. So when she's mochel, ksuba salabala, so does that mean that she's also mochel this right on the mizonos? And Rabbi Elazar said, as quoted by Ravin Bar Chanina, that yes, she's mochel ksuba, so it means that she's no longer entitled to mizonos if her husband dies. The estate doesn't have to support her. That's what he said. Rav Chista responded and said, Amalei, Ilav the Karmasli Mishmei the Gavra Rabba. If it wasn't for the fact that he said this over the name of the great Rabbi Elazar, so I would have disagreed with you. Hav Aminaloch, I would have told you, no, this woman did her husband a favor. She did him a tova by Bimoichel the Ksuba, so the estate doesn't have to pay out her Ksuba, but in this situation, you should say that she should lose her mizonos. That doesn't fit in with the following pasuk for Mishlei, where it says, "Meishiv roa tachas tova." If a person pays back something that he did, somebody did him a favor, and he pays him back with bad, so then lo tomush roa mibeso. Then he'll never have evil go away from his house. He'll never have bad things leave his house. In other words, if somebody was nice to you and you're not nice to them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it that he will not be nice to you, and bad things will happen from your house. So therefore, when this woman was Michael's husband's ksuba, so in this situation, why should she lose her mizonos? The husband should be even more grateful and should certainly allow the estate to go and give her mizonos, even though the estate doesn't have to pay her the basic ksuba or all the tosefes ksuba, but certainly shouldn't lose the right to mizonos. Gemara tells us, Yosef, Rav Nachman, Ula, Avime, Bar Papi, these three great Amorayim, Rav Nachman, Ula, and Avime, Bar Papi, were sitting and learning. The Yosef, Rav Chia, Bar Ami, Gabayu, and as well, Rav Chia, Bar Ami joined them, and then the following mice occurred. Also, how Gavra, a man came along, who Nebuch, the Shriva Arusa, so who just lost his wife, but she was only an Arusa to him, she wasn't fully married to him, and he was asking them, do I or do I not have to bury this wife, who was only an Arusa to me? So I'm late. So they responded to him, some of the three Amoraim that were sitting first, Rav Nachman, Ula, and Avime Bar Rapapi, they either functioned as a basin, or they just told him, Armilei, Zil Kvar, you have to go and bury her. Or alternatively, if you don't want to bury her, Ohav Lo Ksubasa, or go give her Ksuba to her family, and the family will go and bury her with the Ksuba money. So Amalu Rav Chia. Now the simple understanding would be that this is Rav Chia Bar Ami who asked them. Elsewhere there's a different girsa as to which Rav Chia this was, but we'll learn it nice and simple that it was this Rav Chia Bar Ami who went and responded to this psak din of these three Amoraim, and he said, Tanina, but wait a second, we learned in the following Braisa that Ishto Arusa, if a woman is an Arusa and Nebuch, she dies, exactly the case over here, so the Braisa says, Lo Onein, her husband doesn't have to be an Aninus for her. In other words, he's not considered like this is his wife. There is no Aninus over here where he's exempt from doing all the mitzvahs I say and has to focus on the burial of his wife. She's not considered his wife in regard to this din of aninus in this situation where she was only an arusa to him. Likewise, if he's a kohen, lo mitami lo. A kohen is mechuyev to be mitami to his wife if she's a full nesua. But this brisa says he's not allowed to be mitami to his wife. A kohen is forbidden to go and become tummy from Tumas Meis, and when he buries his wife, he obviously will become tummy Tumas Meis, so he's not allowed to in this situation because she's not a Nesua. If she was a Nesua, so then he would be Mechuyev to go and be Mitami to her. But if she was only an Arusa to him whenever she passed away, he's not allowed to be Mitami to her. And furthermore, Lachain, likewise, in the opposite situation where Rachmana Litzlan, the Arusa's husband, passed away, so he lo onenes, so she's not considered an onenes in regards to him. So she's Mechuyev in all the mitzvos asay. And likewise, lo mitama lo. Now, this is very strange, because even if she was a bas kohen, so the rule is that the din of, you're not allowed to become tummy if you're a kohen, only applies to a male, not to women. It's only one of the three mitzvahs lo sase that doesn't apply to women as well as men. Normally, we say that every single lo sase applies equally to men and women. Three exceptions are two dinim in regards to pas zakonam, the payas, in regards to the din of not being allowed to cut off your payas, so a woman technically can cut off her payas in the two places, so therefore that's two mitzvahs lo sase that apply only to a man and not to a woman. And the third one is a female kohen is allowed to be mitami tumas meis, whereas a male kohen is of course not allowed to be mitami tumas meis. So here, why does it say v'lo mitama lo? Why can't she be mitami to him? There's no issue whatsoever. So many of the mepharshim simply answer that we're just dealing with parallelism over here, that it said he's not allowed to be mitami to her, so therefore it says that she's not allowed to be mitami to him. But there's a Rashi elsewhere that brings down a beautiful pshat. Rashi says in Rosh Hashanah, where he writes v'li nira v'lo mitama, that when it says over here that she's not allowed to be mitami to him, it's talking about kagon beregel. It's talking about during the Shlosh Regalim. Now during the Shlosh Regalim, Rashi's understanding here is that everybody had a mitzvah not to become Tomei Meis, so they could all eat the Karbanos, they could eat the Shlomim, they could eat the Shalmi Chagiga, etc. So therefore, around the Regal time, there is a custom for everybody not to become Tomei. And that's what it's saying over here, that if it's during the pre-Regal or Regal period of time, she's not allowed to become Tomei to him, because everybody, she Yisraelim, Muzharim, Alatuma, and this is based upon the Pasuk, Nivla Son, Lo Si Go. So therefore, in this situation, even a non-Kohen has a prohibition against becoming Tami. So that's what Rashi in Rosh Hashanah tells us. Below me Tami law. Now, here's the point that Rav Chiya is pointing out to them. Meisa enu yorsha. If she were to die first, so then he doesn't inherit his wife. However, if he dies first, meis hu, then go vok suba. So she is entitled to go and collect the suba. Now, the implication from the statement is it's only because taima de meis hu, when he dies, gova ksubasa. The implication is, however, if she were to die, ha meis hi, ein lo ksuba, which means that the husband does not have to go and bury her. So Rav Chiya is questioning these three amoraim who said to the husband, either bury her or give her a ksuba, that doesn't seem to be in accord with this brisa. Now, why? My taima, why does this brisa say that he doesn't have to go and bury her? Because Amar Rav Shai says, Shana Nikare Ba, because in this situation, where she dies, so then you can't say about her, which is written in the Ksuba, Shain Ani Kare Ba, L'chashiti Nasi Li Acher, Titli Ma Shekosu Lechi. When you get married to somebody else, then you're entitled to go and collect your Ksuba. Here, she's never going to get married to somebody else because she's Nebuch dead. So therefore, that aspect of the Ksuba doesn't apply. So this is what Rav Chiya questioned those three Amoraim. They seem to be going against this brisa. Okay. The Gemara doesn't come to a resolution as to what the halacha is in this situation. Now, he also, Ravin, Omer Reish Lakish, however, when Ravin came over from Eretz Yisrael, he said over the name of Reish Lakish, this is Akdin, Arusa Shemesa Ein Lok Suba. He essentially brought down this idea that Rav Chiya just brought down. So Amalu Abaye, Abaye tells him, Zilu Amile, go and tell Rabin and return to Nukimu and Beis. You think you're telling us a big cool over here to say that there is no ksuba in such a situation. In other words, the husband doesn't have to bury his wife who was in Arusa, Nebuch, when she passes away. So Shkila Tivusach, go and take your good deed that you think you're doing for us by telling us this din, and Shadja Achizra, and throw it upon the thorns and the thistles, because Kvar Tirgama, Rav Hoshaya, Lushmaisa Bevavu, because Rav Chiya had already brought down the Brisa from Rav Hoshaya that said that this din was already paskin in Bavel, And therefore, you're not doing us a favor by telling us this din. We already knew this din. An interesting poetic type of an expression. You know, go and take your good deed that you're trying to do for us and throw it on the thorns because we don't need it over here. We already know this din. Gemara continues by quoting the Mishnah, Bina Nukvin, the daughters of the woman, the heavenly Chiminoi v'chule, that I have from you, they're entitled to be supported after your death by your estate, by the brothers of this girl, until she either gets married or until she becomes a Bokeris. Now the Gemara is going to discuss what I just said, until she's married or until she becomes a Bokeris. What exactly does that mean? So Rav, when he learned this Mishnah, he said that it meant up until the time Ad Til Slakhon Leguvrin, until they got married. See in a moment, does this mean the first stage of marriage, the Erisin, or does it mean that it has to be a full Nesuah until there's the completion of the marriage? Levi, when he learned the Mishnah, he said it meant Ad Til Bagron, until she becomes a Bogeris. So the obvious question is, according to Rav, Larav, Afogav de Bogar, even if she's a Bogeris, but she's not yet married, that she's still supported by the estate, and to Levi, vice versa. Afogav, the incident, even though she's married, a full Nisuin, but she's not yet a Bogeris, does that mean she's still entitled to be supported by the estate? Neither one of those two makes any sense. So Gemara says, you're right, 100%. Ella Bogar, a low incident, when she reaches the age of Bogeris, even if she's not married, everybody agrees that she's no longer entitled to support, both Rav and Levi. And everybody agrees, incident, if she's fully married, if she's in a Suwa, even though she hasn't reached the stage of Bogris, below Bogar, the Kuliyama lo Pligi, that she's not entitled to any Mizonos at that point in time. The requirement for the Ksuba, that the husband of the woman or his estate will go support these children, so that only stops when she reaches the Bagra state, and that stops if she's in the Suwa. The only machlokas that Rav and Levi have is, what about if she's only in Arusa, but not yet a Bogeris? So keep Ligi, where they're arguing about the Arusa, where this girl is in Arusa, but she's not a Bogeris. So she has the first stage of marriage, she's either in a Suwa, according to everybody, or possibly even if she's a Katana, this then would apply that the support would go away or not. But let's keep it nice and simple that she's a Nara, who's an Arusa, the low Bogeris. She's not a Bogeris, and she hasn't had Nisuin. So in this situation, Rav says that as soon as she becomes Tilkinchen the Guvrin, as soon as she's married, even the first stage of marriage, Erisin, Rav says she's no longer entitled to be supported by the estate, and Levi says no, until she's in a Suwa, she's still entitled to be supported by the estate if she hasn't yet become a Bogeris. And the Chayin Tani Levi ben Masnise, Levi had his own set of prices, as Rashi points out, the Ramasul Tana Levi, says the Levi Sida Braisa Sheisha Sidorim Kiram Chiyam Chavoshaya. We're more familiar with the Braisas of Chiyam Chavoshaya, but Levi also had his own set of Braisos. They were codified, and Levi learned in one of these Braisas, Ad Tisis Bagron, the Yimte Zimnehon, the Insavon. He says, seemingly, that both of these are required until she becomes a Bogeris and until the time that she becomes in a Suwa. So this seems to imply that both of them are necessary. Which the Gemara questions, really, Tarti? Bismia, Rashi says, both of them? She has to be both a Bogeris and in a Suwa? That doesn't seem to be in accord with what we just said. So Gemara says, you're right, 100%. That's not what the Brisa means. That above is an or, it's not an and. So Ella, O Tibagwin, if she becomes a Bulgarian, she's no longer entitled to support from the estate, or O Yimte Zimneon Lisnasva, or if the time comes for her to become a Nesua. They used to wait a year, as we mentioned many, many times, between the Erisin and the Nesuin. So if that time came that she should be a Nesui, even though she's not a Nesua, at that point her husband has to support her, and therefore the estate no longer has to support her. Now, this machlokus between Rav and Levi, what is the din? Is she supported after the Erisin, before the Nisuin, before she's a Bogeris, or not? Rav says that she is not. Levi says that she is actually, the Gemara wants to suggest, a machlokas tanoim, kid tanoi. Because the Braisa tells us, ad masay habas nizonis. The Braisa says, if Rachmana l'slan, the father passes away and the daughter's being supported by the estate of her father, so the brothers, her brothers have inherited the estate, and they have to support her, until what age? So the Tanakhama says, Ad Shetioris, until Erisin, exactly like Rav. But then we have a different opinion. Mishum Rabbi Elazar, Amr of the Tana Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, he says, Ad Sheti Bager. That's exactly like the opinion of Levi, that Erisin alone doesn't do it. Either she becomes an Asua, or she's a Bogeris, that's when the support stops. Okay, so this Brisa seems to be in accord. The Tanakhama holds like Rav, and Rabbi Elazar holds like Levi. Mark continues and says, Tani Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef learned the following Brisa. It says that the woman, the girl, is entitled to be supported by the estate of her father, Ad the Yehevion, until she becomes Havaya, until she goes into marriage. So the Gemara says, what marriage? Are we talking about Erusin or Nisuin? Ibaru, they ask in the base marriage, Havaya, this Havaya that we're talking about, is it the Havaya the Erusin, or this Havaya that we're talking about, or Havaya that we're dealing with is Nisuin? And the Gemara says, Teku. We don't know. The price is not clear. We don't know whether this goes like Rab or this goes like Levi. Amar Rav Chisla Rav Yosef. Now, there are two versions that we're going to have of this discussion. This is the first version. Rav Chisla says to Rav Yosef, Mi Shmia Loch, Mi Neid Rav Yehuda, you were a Talmud by Rav Yehuda. Right? The great Rav Yehuda was a Talmud by Rav, and then after Rav died, he was a Talmud by Shmuel. So, Rav Chisla says to Rav Yosef, you were a Talmud by Rav Yehuda. Did you ever hear him paskin on this Shaila? Arusa, the girl who is an Arusa, and her father is Nebuch dead, does the estate have to support her or not? While she's in Arusa. Arusa, Yesh Lamazonus, Wayne Lamazonus. So does she or does she not have the support from the estate of her father? After all, she's in Arusa, maybe her husband should support her, but after all, her husband doesn't support her until she's in Nesua, so maybe she does have the right to be supported by the estate. So Rav Yosef says back to Rav Chisda, I never heard this from the Rebbe. Amalei, Mishma Lo Shmili. I never heard Rav Yehuda comment on this. However, on my own, I would say the Svara, Elam Yisvara, Lesla. I would say that she doesn't have an entitlement to be supported from the estate. Why is that? Because Kivan, the Irsay, since her husband did the first stage of marriage with her, he doesn't want her, Lo Nicha Le, the Tizazel, that she should go and have to go out and beg for her food. So he certainly doesn't want to have her go around that, well, that's so-and-so's wife. Look, she's begging on the street. He doesn't support her. So even though he's not mechuyev to support her because he hasn't yet taken her into the full marriage of Nisuin, so Mistama, Rav Yosef said that the din should be that she's no longer entitled to support from her father's estate because she has a husband, and the husband Mistama will support her. Rav Chisda disagrees. Rav Chisda says, Amalei, in Mishma Lo Shmilach, if you didn't hear this directly from the Rebbe, I would say the exact opposite Svara. Misvara Isla. I would say from a Svara, she in fact should be supported from the father's estate and not rely upon the husband, who after all, Kivan Delo Kim Le Begava Lo Shadi Zuzi Bichti, since he hasn't yet taken her into an Nisuin, and as Rashi points out, in this situation, maybe the Nisuin won't go through, because they used to go and have their relatives check her out to see if she had any mumim. And therefore, maybe, as Rashi says, in Dira Masu Dol Kim Le Begapa, Im Tinasi Lo, Shema Yimtza Ba Mum, Lo Shadi Zuzi Bichti. So until he marries her, and he knows that she doesn't have any mumim, his relatives have checked her out, so the female relative said, no, she doesn't have any mumim, so therefore, in this situation, once she's in the sewer, he undertakes a supporter. But otherwise, maybe the marriage won't go through. Yes, the Arison went through, but maybe the full marriage won't go through, and he's not going to throw away his money for nothing. So that's the first version that we had over here. The Rav Chisda is the one that says that she is entitled to support from the estate, and Rav Yosef is the one that says she's not entitled to support from the estate because of the two svaras that we just gave. Again, Rav Yosef's svara was, since she's already married, the first stage of marriage, her husband won't let her go and beg on the street, and therefore support her, and she doesn't need to be supported by the father. Whereas Rav Chisda says he's not throwing away his money for nothing. Maybe he won't marry her the full Nisuin, and therefore the father's estate has to support her. Now we have the Ikud the Amri. Others had it the exact opposite way. The arguments are the same, but who said what is the exact opposite. In this situation, it was Amalei Rav Yosef said to Rav Chisda, Mashma li shmili, I never heard from Rav Yehuda this psak, but misvara isla, I would say that al svara she should have it because after all, kivin lo kim le begava lo shadi zud b'chdei, since he hasn't yet fully married her, so he may not fully marry. He's not going to throw his money away for nothing if he doesn't fully marry her. So therefore, it makes sense that she should still be supported. Here, Rav Yosef is the one that says she should be supported from the estate of the father, whereas Rav Chisda tells him, no, Amalei, imishma lo shmilach, if you didn't hear this directly from the Rebbe, so then I would say the Svara goes the other way. If you didn't hear this from Yehuda, misvara lesla, I would say the Svara would argue that she doesn't have, because after all, given the irsay, the guy married her, so he's not going to let his wife go beg. Lo nichle to tizzal, she's going to go and become embarrassed and have to go around begging. People would say, look at that guy, he married her and he makes his wife go beg for food. So again, the Svaras are no difference between the first version and the second version, just who said them is flipped around between the first version and the second version. Now the Gemara has a Simon de Gavre. The Simon for the five Talmidei Chachamim that are going to be mentioned over here is Shok Zoraf. These are the mnemonics. Again, the mnemonics are always the first letter of their last name, but it's a key letter of their name. So the Shin stands for Rav Sheshes, that's the first letter. The Kuf stands over here for Reish Lakish, the Kuf in Reish Lakish. The Zayin stands for Rabbi Elazar. Often they use that either an Ayin or a Zayin for Rabbi Elazar. And then the Reish is for Rava, and the Pei is for Rav Papa. So these five Amoraim are all going to make a comment on the five following cases. The cases are Me'ana, V'Yavama, Shniya, Arusa, V'Anusa. The same question is going to be asked in all five of these cases. Is the girl entitled to be supported by the estate, essentially, or not? So these five Amoraim are going to make a psak din on these five cases. So that's just what the simon stands for. Now, the first question is as follows. Boyminim Rishashis, the answer Rishashis, that's the shin in shock. So the answer Rishashis is the following Shaila. A girl who's Mima Enes. In other words, there was a marriage, either Rabbanon, either her father died or she'd been married off previously, and the father is now considered Yisom Chayaviyah. But anyway, let's keep it nice and simple. The father died, she'd never been married, and her mother or her older brother marries her off midi rabbanon, and she has the right to leave that marriage at any point that she wants to by walking out before she reaches the age of either being a nara or a nara that has a full growth of hair in that area. The shachar is more than the lovin, as we talked about previously. So in this situation, before that period of time, before she's married on the daraisa level, she's allowed to leave the marriage without requiring a get. So how do we view this woman? Is she considered to have been married? If all, she's in the suah, midi rabbanon, over here, and she just walked away from the marriage, so does she return to Beis Aviyah, and therefore, if the father Nebuch dies, so the estate is required to support her or not? Yesh l'mazonos or ain l'mazonos? That's the question that they asked to Rav Sheshes. So Amalu Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes responds to the people in the Beis Medrash who asked him the question. He said, Tinisua. We learned this in the following brisa. It says, Almona b'Beis Aviyah. It says, a woman who is an Almona from Erisin. Rashi points out these are all talking about from Erisin. A woman who goes back to her father's house is an Almona from Erisin, or Gerusha from Erisin, b'Beis Aviyah, goes back to her father's house. B'Shom Eris Yavam, b'Beis Aviyah. Nebuch, her husband died while she was in Arusa, and she falls in Yivam to the dead husband's brother. And in all these situations, it was from Erisin, and it's called b'Beis Aviyah. So, Yesh Lo Mazonos. So, therefore, the Tanakhama of the Brisa says she is entitled to Mazonos because she never had Nisuin, and therefore she's still considered Beveis Aviyah, and if the father then Nebuch passes away also, so the estate has to go and support this either Amana, Grusha, or Shomeris Yavam. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Oda Beveis Aviyah, while she's still in her father's house, so then Yesh Mazonos, she's supported by the estate of her father. However, if she left her father's house, in other words, she had marriage, so then ain't lo mizonos. She doesn't have mizonos. Now, the Gemara says, how is this any different than the Tanakhama? Yehuda, Hainu Tanakhama. They both seem to be saying the same thing. If she was an Almona or Grusha or Shomeris Yavam from Erisin, she's called Beveis Aviyah, and she's entitled to mizonos. And if it was from Nisuin, then she's no longer called Beveis Aviyah, and she's not entitled to mizonos. What's the machlokas here between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda? The Gemara says, no, they're not the same. Ela, Lav Mima Enes Iko Benayu. What the difference is in the case of Mima Enes, if she was Mima Enes, so then the Tanakhama Savar Isla. The Tanakhama says we view this as if she was never married. After all, a woman who's Mima Enes, she's not considered to have ever been married. So too, this girl who was a full Dirabonu Nisua is considered when she's Mima Enes as if she never left her father's household. So the Tanakhama says she's entitled to Mazonas. Whereas Yehuda Savar Lesla. Yehuda holds no. She left the father's house, albeit on a Durabana level, but she's called no longer Beveis Aviyah. So the Mamanes is not called returning to her father's house, and therefore is not sustained and supported by the estate of her father. That's case number one, asked and answered. Case number two, by Rish Lakish. That's the kuf in the mnemonic, Rish Lakish. And this was the case of the Yavama. Bas Yavama, a girl who was the daughter of a Yibam situation, right? Reuven died, his brother Shimon married Reuven's wife, and then Baruch Shem Mazel Tov, they had a girl. So does this girl, when Shimon dies, so Shimon leaves an estate, so the brothers of this girl, the half-brothers of this girl who inherited the estate from Shimon, their father, so is she entitled to be supported from the estate or not? Yesh L'mazonos. What's the question over here? Yesh L'mazonos and L'mazonos is based upon what? Kivin D'Amar Mar, since we've already learned previously when we learned the Gemara in Yuvamos that Ksubas al Nechse Bala Rishon, Shimon doesn't have to pay the Ksuba. He inherits all of Reuven's property. He gets 100% of Reuven's property, and the Ksuba is from Reuven's property, and therefore Shimon technically doesn't have a ksuba with this woman, and therefore the rights of the girl to be supported from the household of the father in this situation, there is no ksuba. So there is no tanai ksuba to technically support her. So of course the father's going to support her, but the estate, the brothers can argue, listen, we don't have to support you. There is no ksuba obligation over here to support you. And therefore, since the ksuba so al nirse bala rishon lesla, so the children of this Shimon can say, listen, we have nothing to do with it. We are not obligated to support you. Or do we say, oh, no, Dilma, maybe not. Kibon de is the e less law me rishon takinu law rabbanu misheni. Since well, technically the ksuba comes in the rishon, but if the rishon doesn't have any money, Reuven died as a pauper, so then Shimon married her, so then Shimon has to go give a ksuba to the woman, and therefore the rabbi set up that Shimon has to give a ksuba to this woman, and therefore all the tanaim of the ksuba, including supporting any girls that they had, are also included in this ksuba, and therefore isla, she should be entitled to be supported. The Gemara doesn't come to an answer. Take second question is left unanswered. Third question, boy Rabbi Lazar, this is the Zion in the Demonic. So Rabbi Lazar asked about the case of Bas Shnia. Rahman al-Utslan, a man married a woman he wasn't allowed to marry. It's a Dirabanan. It's a Shnios L'Arayis. They're very similar to the real Arayis. And therefore the rabbis instituted that you can't marry these women. But they do have a marriage ischal. So therefore, there is a ksuba in this situation. So yesh la mezonos, oein la mezonos. So does she or does she not, if the father who married this Shnia in this situation, which was an Issa d'Rabbanan. So, is there a requirement on his behalf to support the daughter that he had from his estate or not? Do the half-brothers or brothers over here have any obligation to go and support their sister? And we turn to Nundala and Aleph. I misspoke a moment ago, and technically she doesn't have a ksuba. Even the last ksuba, since this was an Issa d'Rabbanan, so the rabbis were only too interested in making the divorce. But one of the reasons you have a ksuba is to make it difficult for man to divorce the woman, because they're financial responsibilities. Here we want the man to divorce the woman, so even the last ksuba, so last lamazoni. So since she doesn't have a ksuba, so then none of the entitlements of the ksuba, including the tanoi that says that she has to be supported from the estate of the father, if the father dies, so that tonight doesn't apply. Less law mizoni. Or do we say no Dilma? Oh Dilma, ima de of the Yisura, the mother who did something wrong. The mother married somebody she wasn't allowed to marry. So Kansua Rabbana, the rabbis canceled her and said, you don't have a ksuba. But this poor little girl who was a product of that marriage, the law of the Yisura, the little girl didn't do anything. She didn't do anything wrong. So therefore, the rabbi said, lo kansua Rabbana. That part of the ksuba is there. In other words, she could be supported by the estate. Again, the Gemara doesn't come to a conclusion. Take the third question is also left unanswered. The fourth question, by Rava, that was the Reish and the Demonic, about the case of the Arusa. Bas Arusa. If a man was married to a woman only the first age of marriage, but they unfortunately couldn't control themselves, and they had relations. They weren't allowed to, but they had relations, and they had a daughter. So this daughter now is going to be entitled to mezonos or not when her father dies. Yesh lo mezonos from the estate, o ein lo mezonos from the estate. So she is not a full-fledged child that had a ksuba. Therefore, maybe she's not entitled to mezonos because it's a tanaya de ksuba, and there was no ksuba because she's only an arusa when the father passed away. So do we say kibon de islo ksuba, but some people do have a ksuba in that situation. Either they actually wrote a ksuba for the mona masayim, or it was implied that that would be given. So isla. Now, all the mafashim point out that if they definitely wrote a ksuba and it said that this was a tanaya de ksuba, of course she would be entitled to mezonos. So here, there was either an implicit ksuba, or there was a ksuba that had been assumed to have been given, but it didn't talk about this aspect. In any event, kivan the isla ksuba, to a certain extent, she does have a ksuba, so then if, therefore, isla, she's entitled to mezonos from the estate. Or do we say, no, odoma. Kivan de lo takinu rabbanu ksuba ad she'as nisuin. Even if ksuba was there, it's really only taking effect at the time of the nisuin. So therefore, since Nebuch, the father, died before the nisuin, so this daughter is not entitled to be sustained from the estate. Lesla, she's not a tanai ksuba here because there is no actualization of the ksuba until the nisuin. And again, there's the fourth question, and we leave it with a taku as well. Finally, the fifth and last question is by Rapapa, that's the pay in the mnemonic, and the case is about an anusa, a woman who Nebuch was seduced to a product of a seduction. So bas anusa, this girl who was the product of an anusa relationship, so yesh lamazonos, wein lamazonos, does she not and get entitled to, when the father dies, to be supported from the estate until she either gets married or until she becomes a bogaris? So aliba the Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda lo tibola. Don't even ask the question. According to Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, the question doesn't get off the ground because he says she definitely has a ksuba in that situation. The woman who was a mafuta has a ksuba. The Omar, as we learned previously, yesh lo ksuba mana. She has a ksuba v'mana because she is a baula, but she has a ksuba v'mana. So since there's a ksuba, of course, all the tanoim of the ksuba apply, and of course she's supported. The question doesn't get off the ground according to that opinion. Kiti Boila, where the question does get off the ground is Aliba de Rabbanan, according to the opinion of the Chachamim, who argue with Rav Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. And they say, the Chacham hold, the Amar Yotzo Kesef Kinosa B'Ksubasa, that the Kesef, the 50 Shkolim that was paid, that's instead of the Ksuba. So do we say it's instead of the Ksuba in entirety, and there's no Tanai Ksuba? My, what's the Halacha? Given the less Ksuba, in this situation there's no Ksuba. It's, so to say, been prepaid with the Knas. So then, less Lamazoni. So therefore, there is no Mazonis, because there is no Ksuba, and she's not entitled to be supported if this guy dies from the estate. Or do we say, no, Odomo, no. Why don't we give her a Ksuba? Because Ksuba, time of my, the reason why we normally give a Ksuba, as I said before, there's a financial responsibility if you divorce a woman. So the rabbis instituted that in order to make it more difficult. So a man just should get married with his wife or go take a new, younger trophy wife. Hey, I'm done with you. Go to the next one. So therefore, there's going to be a penalty, a stiff financial penalty. The guy's going to think twice before doing that. But here, there's no reason to, because he's not allowed to divorce her. This man who was ma'anis her is not allowed to go and divorce her. If you, Rahman al-San, I said before, a mafuta, the seduction, it's really talking here about an anusa, we're talking here about an assault. So the did is that he's never allowed to go and divorce her if she doesn't want to be divorced. So therefore, the reason why there's no ksuba is because while the money has, so to say, been paid already, according to the opinion of the Chachamim, but the other aspects of the ksuba are still in effect. And therefore, the child from the Yanusa relationship would be entitled to support from the estate when this assaulter dies, her father dies. And the Gemara leaves this as well with the take. We don't come to resolve this fifth and final question as well. With this, we conclude today's share.